Good afternoon, everyone. We are starting a brand new series here this afternoon, okay? We have just concluded the Apostles' Creed last week, and I feel like it has been a very big blessing to all of us, okay? So this afternoon, we're starting a brand new one called Rise and Fall, okay? So basically, like what the title of this series says, starting today up until the next four Sundays, we will be talking about leadership. Okay? Tell the person beside you for a while, you are a leader. All right, very good. Now, for our foreigner friends here, Koreans, Americans, and to all of our foreigner friends here, the next coming weeks, we will be talking about leadership in the context of the Philippines because this will basically get into a pinnacle, which is this coming May, we're going to have our elections. So we believe that, you know what, as Christians, we will not be leading from the sideline. Amen. All right, meaning to say we will get involved and we will look into what God has in store for our nation, okay, this coming May 9, all right? As we look into leadership, this is a five-week series that will basically lead into election. Okay, this is something new. We've never done this before. We have a series specifically for the elections. And who knows, you know, maybe the next coming weeks we might have some politicians here, okay, not to give their speech, but for us to pray for them and for us to basically, you know what, lay hands on them for that matter. Here's what John Maxwell said. He said, everything rises and falls on leadership. That could be a corporation. Okay, you might be talking about your church. You might be talking about a business, an organization, even a fraternity for that matter. You might be talking about an enterprise. At the end of the day, if good things are happening, point to the leader. If things are falling apart, you'll have to point to the leader. At the end of the day, the weight falls on the leader's shoulder. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So what is the premise of this series that we're having here? We will be looking at different characters in the Bible. One of the best-selling, you know, leadership authors in the world right now is John Maxwell. Everybody knows that, right? In fact, I think Forbes magazine named him as one of the top 25 most read key authors of all time. Can you imagine that? Do you folks know that, you know what? He has so many things to say about leadership, but there was a point in his life wherein he was a pastor. So meaning to say his context of leadership is basically taken from the what? It's basically taken from God's word. If you want to grow as a leader, you'll have to immerse yourself in God's word. Okay, you'll have to be well-versed in God's word. Okay, you would be amazed that if you start reading your Bible, you would be amazed that there are so many characters there, different leadership styles. And we will all basically learn from different kings, for that matter, you know, there are things that they did that made them rise to leadership, and there are also things that they did that made them fall from leadership. And sometimes people would say that experience is the best teacher. We don't think so. Because the truth is, you don't have to experience different kinds of pains and hurts for you to learn. Because at our generation right now, you can actually learn from the mistakes of other people. So you don't have to experiment on some stuff. There are already absolute truths out there that guarantees good consequences and bad consequences. At the end of the day, you'll have to make a choice. And we certainly believe that, you know what, as we have planted this church here back in 2001, we know that Dumaguete City is a city which is basically brewing in leadership. Again, there's just an undercurrent, you know, with four universities in this small city and six colleges. Can you imagine that? You know, the first St. Paul in the Philippines is in this city. Again, the first American established, you know, university in Asia is actually in this city right here. Then we have Foundation University and one of the biggest state universities in the Philippines, which is NORSU. Okay, so we know for a fact that, you know what, this place, Dumaguete City, is teeming with leaders. Turn with me for a while to Judges chapter 9, verses 7 to 14. Now, what we're going to read here is basically one of the only 11 parables in the Old Testament. Again, this is one of the 11. Look at this one. This is a parable from Jotham. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed on top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you." Here's what he said. One day, the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?" That's what olive tree said. Verse 10. Next, the tree said to the fig tree, "Come and be our king." Here's what the fig tree said. "Should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees?" Then the tree said to the vine, "Come and be our king." But a vine answered, "Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over the trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, "Come and be our king." All right, what we're looking at here basically is a parable. And this was a parable by a guy named Jotham, okay, who was basically one of the sons of Gideon. Now look at this one. He shared this parable, declared this parable in Mount Gerizim, okay, which is still existent today. And look at this one. This is one of the verses that we need to understand in the Bible. Look at this one. In terms of leadership, for us to get a good grasp, okay, of the verses that we've just read, we need to look at three characters here this afternoon, very quickly. Okay, three characters, and look at this one. The three characters that we're going to mention for us to understand the passage here this afternoon, it doesn't necessarily mean that what they did were all wrong. In fact, you would be amazed that the guys that we're looking into here are actually great leaders. So at the end of the day, I want us to understand this. We can never be perfect. In fact, we want to expel the myth among Christian circles that it doesn't mean that, you know, just because we could elect a Christian president will change the entire nation. We don't think so. Because the truth is, it would, what, require every single Christians in this nation to come together and do our part as we build this nation for God's glory. Now, the first guy that we're looking into here is a guy by the name of Gideon. You guys know him. His name is Gideon. He's right here. Okay, that's what we got in his Facebook. Next one is a guy by the name of Abimelech. Okay, that's the only picture that we got of him because he's an evil person. And the next one would be from a group of people called the Shechemites. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at their life quickly. I hope we have an entire afternoon talk about this. But we have a few minutes to cover all of this one. But look at this one. First one, let's talk about a guy by the name of Gideon. Okay, now look at this. I want us to catch this. As a leader, there were things that they did, and there were also things that they didn't do, which caused them to rise and fall in leadership. At the end of the day, it's not just the wrong things that you're doing. It could be that you are not rising to a position of leadership because you're not doing something. All right? This guy's name is Gideon. You guys are familiar with this one. If you read your Bible, you would come to understand that Gideon is a mighty warrior. Okay, he's a mighty warrior. I mean, he had a huge following. So if you're a mighty warrior, if you read your Bible, you would come to understand that if you're a mighty warrior, you're going to have a huge following. You're going to be what? You are a charismatic leader. Okay, one year, you have already made up your mind as to whom you're going to elect this coming May 9th. You have a president in mind, a vice president in mind already. Can you see your hand? Or you have a mayor in mind and a vice mayor in mind. Very good. Okay, most likely since January, you have been doing your research. You are not a bandwagoner for that matter. All right? Now, this guy is charismatic. Okay, what does it mean to be charismatic? You know, leaders who are charismatic are just naturally, you know, attractive to so many people. Look at this one. You know, charisma is good, but I want us to understand this. At the end of the day, we have to understand that charisma alone will not bring in revenues. Intelligence, hard work, fear of the Lord will. The thing with Gideon was that he was a mighty leader. In fact, one of you knows the movie 300. You're familiar with the movie 300. I mean, if you're a guy, you've watched this movie, you know, you feel like you want to be one of those guys. Right? You feel like, you know, you want to have those kinds of, you know, bodies and stuff like that. You know, as much as this movie is really nice, do you folks realize that in your Bible, there's a mention of 300 mighty men led by Gideon? Look at this one. Judges chapter 8, verse 4. It says here, and Gideon came to Jordan and crossed over, he and the what? 300 men. He and the 300 men who were with him, exhausted yet pursuing. Okay, one of the wonderful things about this leadership is this one. He had 300 men, and he goes out to war to kill thousands of people. I mean, that gives you a picture of what kind of a leader this is. I mean, his courage is just infectious. All right? But I want us to highlight the words exhausted yet pursuing. Exhausted yet pursuing. Who am I here? You want to have a leader for this city. Okay, for the nation, someone who could get exhausted, but yet because of their commitment to change, because of their commitment to serve you, they are still pursuing what they're doing. That is the kind of leader that is basically worth following. Whenever you look at the word pursuit, you know, it's something that's not easy. What you don't understand is pursuit basically and purpose are tied up. The reason why a lot of people are willing to be exhausted with their pursuit is because they understand the purpose of their pursuit. So it gives us a picture that for all of us here, Christian voters for that matter, if you cannot vote yet, then you have a role to pray for the nation. So one of the roles that God has given us is to look for people, before we elect them into office, is to look for people who are willing to be exhausted, not to exhaust the nation, not to exhaust the nation of the nation's resources, but to exhaust themselves of energy, of resources, just to what? To pursue the service that they want to deliver to the people. We cannot be salt and light from the sideline. As Christians, we need to get involved. We have to get involved for that matter. The rise of Gideon was very strong. It was a picture of strong leadership. I mean, you know what? Pagpasok pala ni Gideon, people would, wow, man, this guy's just amazing. He had an aura with him that people would want to follow him. But look at this one. Here's what I want us to catch. As much as he was strong in his leadership, guess what? The fall of his leadership was also strong. I don't have time to cover this, but I want us to understand this. What was the leadership pitfall of Gideon? It could be summarized in one word. And that word is basically entitlement. He felt like, as a leader, he was entitled into so many things. We'll try to narrow that down. Look at this one. Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Here's what happened. Then the man of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hands of Midian." You folks catch that? He was coming from the war with the Midian people. Israelite people came up to him and told him, "Hey, Gideon, can you please be our leader? Pati na din anak mo, yung lineage yung magiging leader namin." The wrong thing here basically was that they're just making Midian as the reference. I want you to understand this. One battle is not telling of the real character of a person. One success story doesn't give you a picture that this person is worth trusting. So this verse would basically educate all of us as well that our decisions to trust people into office will have consequences on ourselves. Are folks with me? They started trusting Gideon, and look at this one. If someone asks you this question, "Patrick, Ryan, can you please be our leader? What are your choices?" Your choices is a what? A yes or a no? Tama po ba? When someone asks you something, you can either say yes to the request or no to the request. I want you to catch this. I cringe at Gideon's response. And it's just a sad reality that even if this is a 1,000-year-old story, sometimes, or a lot of times, this is the kind of response that leaders give to the people who want their service. You want to see Gideon's response? Now look at this one. Judges chapter 8, verse 24. Here's what he said. "And Gideon said to them, 'Let me make a request of you.'" Poor words. Sad words. Instead of saying yes or no, what we say, "Pwede, pero may request ako." Ooh. So meaning to say, my service to you has strings tied up to it. My service to you is an ex-deal for that matter. So that gives you a picture that this is entitlement. You guys need me. It's not like the nation needs you. Are folks catching this? Now, it doesn't end there. Okay? He started making a request. Now, look at this one. Here's what he said. "Let me make a request of you." Look at this one. "Each one of you, give me the earring from his spoil." Ooh. And then look at this. It says here, verse 24, "For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites." Look at this kind of leader. I want us to get a good picture of this one. People came up. Let's say these are the Israelites. They understand that I have the 300 mighty men with me. I am a mighty warrior, great leader. People have heard about me. Let's say I'm Gideon. They came up to me and tell me, "Can you please be our leader?" Gideon did something like this. Pwede. Instead na nakatingin sa mata, nakatingin sa tenga. So it's like asking the question, "I am going to be your leader, but what is in it for me? Where is service there?" I thought politicians are supposed to be public servant. So what Gideon was looking at, uy, may earrings ka pala, bro. Let's say these are the Ishmaelites. He's looking at all the earrings. Leader? Pwede. Kasi kwinenta na niya. Pwede, marami to. I mean, that's a sad picture that we have here of a kind of leader that this group of people would want to lead. In Bisaya, sorry to say this, but it's bagagno. You know how this looks like in our generation right now? Older people might not be able to relate with this one. But younger people will. It's something like this. Gideon, pwede ba ikaw ang leader na mo? Pwede. Na mo'y car? May follow-up pa yun. Unsa klase nga car? It's something like that. I mean, it's a sad reality that has plagued the life of Gideon. And truth of the matter is that, you know what, it has been plaguing world leaders, national leaders, for that matter. Looking into what we could get from the people. Look at this one. Have you ever thought about this? How do people usually respond to a leader's request? That is why, as a leader, you have to be careful with this one. If you're here and you're a leader of a corporation, whatever that is, as a pastor, I am very careful not to post on social media my prayer request. I don't go out there and telling people, of course, you guys know I'm now active in social media. I don't go out there telling people that I'm believing God for a brand new car. Why? Because people might feel obliged to bless me with a car. If you need something as a leader, go ask God. Why do you have to pressure the people around you? Work hard for your car, for that matter. Iluwad mo yung kotse kung gusto mo. Do not put the burden of provision to other people. Why? Because this would be people's normal reaction. Look at this one. In verse 25, and they answered, we will willingly give them. Sabi nila, Gideon, pambira yan lang naman pala. Ayan. Earrings lang pala katapat mo. And they spread a cloak and every man threw in. They basically threw in the earrings from everyone. I was thinking about this a while ago and I realized that Filipinos, and I'm not sure whether foreigner friends here, but you might observe this among us Filipinos. Patrick, you know, Dennis, all of you foreigners here, you would notice this among Filipinos. You know, Filipino has a very soft, you know, and forgiving culture. That's what Lee Kuan Yew said. Meaning to say, because of our being hospitable, sometimes we don't really care if people take advantage of us. I don't want to make this sound like a political rally or something. Dee Waters said, leadership is an opportunity to serve. It is not a trumpet call to self-importance. When you're given a leadership responsibility down the road, take note of it this way. You were elected, you were appointed to serve, not to be served. In fact, Jesus himself said that the greatest of all will be what? The servant of all. If we are Christ followers, then we have to follow what he said. We have to follow basically his example, for that matter. That we will have to be the greatest servants of all. Here's a sad thing. Of course, you know, we've talked about his rise in power. And we have seen the reason for his fall in leadership. Now, how would you gauge if someone has been successful or not? How would you gauge if someone has been successful in the trust that God has given them? Simple. Look at their legacy. What was Gideon's legacy? Drum rolls. Look at this one. Chapter 8, verse 33. This was his legacy. Look at this one. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal bury their god. That's his legacy. When he died, people basically turned back and went worshiping Baal. You know what makes it worse? Look at this one. Next verse. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God. For our older folks here in this room, I want you to understand this. Do you folks realize that we are surrounded by the next generation? This is no longer a question of whether we're going to impart something or not to the next generation. Because definitely, we will impart something to the next generation. The question is, what are you going to impart to the next generation? What kind of future Dumaguetenos are going to rise up in this city? What kind of future Filipinos are going to rise up in this nation? Just like us, pinapatulan lahat sa Facebook. Babaw. Do you folks realize that, you know what, we live in a nation wherein whoever president gets elected, we keep criticizing the person. May inelect, anong sinisigaw natin? Nasa labas tayo, ibagsak, ibagsak. That has been the case since the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up until now. Sigaw tayo na sigaw, ibagsak, ibagsak, wala naman tayong gusto iangat. Linisin ang gobyerno, linisin ang pamahalaan. Teka lang, Chong, yung ventilador mo sa bahay, nalinis mo na ba? Ang dami nating sinasabi. We have so much opinions to say about other people, but wait a second, how about your self-governance? How about the integrity and convictions of your life? Are you being a blessing to the next generation or you are a stumbling block to the next generation? So tama mo ng boka. Work on your life first. Be a blessing to this nation. So much of Gideon. Here's the southern part. It gets southern as we progress. The next guy's name is Abimelech. Now, we don't really have time to cover this. But look at this one. The first few mention of this man right here, Abimelech, gives us a picture of what kind of intention this man has in leadership. Look at this one. Judges chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Now, Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, okay? The son of Jerubbaal went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family. So he gathered people. Political campaign. That's what he did. Here's what he said. Say in the ears, take note, in the ears. Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. Cut the long story short. You know what this guy did? Killed 70 of his siblings. Just for him to be a leader. Leadership pitfall number 2, hunger for power. What was wrong? You know, the Bible actually tells us to esteem leadership position. To pray for leadership position. We want to be a leader someday. Hello? Mommy, you are a high school student. Can I see your hand for a while? One of these days, you are going to basically run the affairs of this city. You're going to run the affairs of this nation. So it's not wrong for us to dream about getting into a certain position one of these days. But the intention should be very clear and very pure. Look at this intention right here. His intention was that he just wanted power for himself. That he had a spirit of what? He was very divisive. Talking about leadership in so many levels, I'm just so grateful to God for the leadership of this ministry. That in 33 years, there was never a church split in this church. Why? Because pastors are not supposed to be divisive. Are folks with me? He was hungry for power. You know what is the antidote for a very divisive kind of life? The only antidote to that is this one. Learn to honor other people. In fact, the Bible is very clear that we ought to consider other people better than ourselves. You guys know how it works practically? It's something like this. Behind Adonis's back, John and I are talking, John and Mav are talking, bida si Adonis sa mouth ko, even if he doesn't know. Tayo kasi minsan sa usapan, lagi tayo ang bida. Honoring other people would do this way. It doesn't have to be in front of the people, but at the back of the person, we have nothing, but we're just basically honoring the person. Grabe si Adonis, sobrang galing. Sobrang galing ng future dad na yun. Hindi ko po maintindihan kung bakit masyado tayong matipid mag-honor. Bakit? Kasi selfish. Gusto natin tayong maganda, tayong matalino, tayong mayaman, o sige na, ikaw na. When was the last time you honored someone? Not to gain something. That was the problem with Abimelech. In fact, during his reign, man, I tell you what, there was just so much bloodshed. Remember, who wanted him in power? The Israelites. They were the ones who told Gideon, hey, son, grandson, be our leader. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. Be careful with the people that you vote for. Because at the end of the day, you will be accountable to God for that. Who are you voting for? The sikat? The established name that you have around you? Well, of course, there are so many established people who have been so good in our society, in our community. But that is not just the criteria that we have. You know, I look at what happened to Abimelech. Look at this one. In verse 56, here's what happened. Thus God returned, look at this one, the evil of Abimelech, which he committed against his father in killing his 70 brothers. You know what's funny with this guy? He killed 70 of his brothers. You know who killed him? A lady killed him. Girl killed him. Nakakaya. Babae. Kita mo yan? Kasi papunta siya sa isang lugar, nakita siya ng babae. Yung babae, nagtapo ng rock from on top. Nahulog sa ulo niya, patay. One time. I want us to understand is God is a God of justice. But justice isn't served just to Abimelech. Look at the next verse. It says here, in verse 57, and God also made all the evil of the men of Shechem return on their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So at the end of the day, I want you to catch this. At the end of the day, the people paid the price for their basically electing this man right here. And it's just a sad reality that they have experienced all of these things. Gideon, Abimelech. Now, let me go to the third group of people. Look at the Shechemites right here. Shechemites. Narinig ko sila, Okay lang yan. Nahirapan rin ako kanina umaga. These are the people from Shechem. Look at what happened to them. Verse 8, it says here, one day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, be our king. But the olive tree answered, should I give up my oil by which gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees? Here's basically what happened. Basically, this group of people basically reflects all of us. And what else to catch is a few more things and we're going to end. It talks about three kinds of trees, right? First one was the what? Olive tree. Right? Second one was the fig tree. Third was the vine. Here's what happened. Parable. People went to Olive. Told Olive, Olive, can you be our leader? Ano sabi ni Olive? Hindi ko pwede ibigay yung oil ko. Sorry na lang. Should I give up my oil to be your leader? No way. All right, okay, fine, Olive. You could be a good leader for us, but you cannot give your oil. So let's go to the fig tree. Here's what fig tree said. I cannot give up my fruit. Should I give up my fruit to serve you guys? Sorry, I cannot do that. All right. Okay, let's go to the vine. Went up to vine. The vine told him, you know, I cannot give up my wine. Wine is so precious. Wine is a symbol of prosperity. Prosperity is like, I have to keep for myself. Sorry, I cannot lead you guys. So the trees were like, olive, fig, vine. We're left with one option. What was their option? What was their only choice? Their only choice was what? Look at this one. Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, come and be our king. Can you show the picture of a thorn bush? No oil, no fruit, no prosperity. Just what? Thorns. Well, it's a sad reality that we have been led by so many thorns. Who placed the thorn there? We did. Why? Because we refused to give up the oil. We refused to give up the fruit. We refused to give up the prosperity. At the end of the day, because we refused to make sacrifices for our nation. That is why things are becoming like this. At the end of the day, like what I told you a while ago, it will not take one president to change the face of this nation. If you are an employee and you call yourself a Christian, file your taxes. If you are a businessman and you claim to be Christian, pay your dues, pay your taxes. Stop under table negotiations. BIR went to our church office a couple of months ago because they saw, like, you know, there's this newly renovated office in Spanish Heritage. We have to check that out. Fine. We knew they were coming. Tried checking our papers and they were just so amazed with how complete our papers are. More complete than the businesses here. At the end of the day, ang dami nating sinasabi, but what are we doing? What sacrifices are we doing? In fact, these are not sacrifices. This is responsibility. We cannot delegate all of these things to leaders. Guess what, friends? It's not just about the president. It's not just about the mayor. It's not just about the congressman. It's about us. God's children. Guess what? We as the church will take part. You know why? Because we are the salt and light in this world. We are the agents of change. It takes a concerted effort for all of us to come together and learn from the mistakes of Gideon, Abimelech. And learn to give up our services. Learn to give up oil. Learn to give up fruit. We look at the character, not just the charisma. The first single unit in this world, family. How's the family doing? How's the relationships doing in the home? Then we start looking at the city. We start looking at the nation.